Hi, I'm Chris. You're about to travel to a place of wonder, excitement, and discovery. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. Just smell that turkey cooking. Whit has closed down the shop for Thanksgiving, and right now he and Tom are in the kitchen preparing a huge dinner for themselves and some other guests. Oh, come on, let's go join them.
Well, let's see now. How do we stand, Tom?
Huh? Oh, well, the turkey's in the oven and the potatoes are mashing in the mixer.
Good. Come on, I'll buy you a cup of hot chocolate.
Oh, now you don't have to ask me twice about that.
Well, it's about time you two came out of that kitchen.
Well, Agnes, it takes time to cook a good turkey dinner.
That's what I've always tried to tell Tom, Whit. It's not as easy as you thought it was, is it?
Nope. Especially on the turkey.
Oh, it was very nice of you to invite all of us over here to the shop for Thanksgiving dinner, Mr. Whitaker.
Well, you're very welcome, Mrs. Kendall. I'm glad you and Connie could make it. And please, call me Whit.
Okay, but only if you call me June.
That's a deal.
In case my husband hasn't said so, Whit, we'd like to thank you, too. And I hope we didn't inconvenience you too much by bringing Rodney along.
Oh, not at all.
Well, we did kind of spring him on you at the last minute. His dad was supposed to come and pick him up this morning, but he never showed.
Well, where's his mother?
Oh, she left when Rodney was real little. His dad's job takes him out on the road a lot, and Rodney stays with us when that happens.
Well, I'm very happy that he's part of our Thanksgiving. Oh, by the way, where is Rodney anyway?
Oh, Connie is showing him around.
That is a very nice daughter you have there, June.
Well, she certainly is turning into one, isn't she?
Well, you sound surprised.
I guess I am. Something's happened to her since she started working here. I don't know what it is, but I sure hope it continues.
So do we, June. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
Well, howdy, you two.
Hi, Tom.
Did you like the tour, Rodney?
Yeah, this place is really great.
Well, I'm glad you like it. You'll have to come back more often. Meanwhile, you both got back just in time.
To eat? Oh, good, I'm starved.
Well, we got a few minutes before the turkey's ready yet. Right now, I'd like everybody to gather around the table, please.
All right.
Yes. Why are we doing this? We're not going to eat.
Well, you'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Is this my
Everybody
place?
In their places?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Now, before we dig into our wonderful dinner, I'd like us all to participate in a kind of tradition my wife started many years ago.
Oh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you look in front of you, you're going to notice that sitting on each of your plates is a kernel of dried Indian corn. See it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It represents the very first Thanksgiving celebration. I'm going to pass this basket around. When it comes to you, I want each of you to drop your kernel into it and then tell us something you're really thankful for. Now, Connie, since you're closest, we'll start with you.
Me? I'm up first?
Yup.
Why can't you pick somebody else to go first?
Because I chose you.
Well, what if I don't want to be first?
Too late.
I don't know what to say.
Just think of something you're thankful for.
Well, I'm thankful when somebody else goes first.
Connie.
Here, Connie, let me have that. I'm thankful that 16 years ago I was blessed with a beautiful, vibrant, bright-eyed, wonderful, and sometimes terrible bundle of joy named Connie. Life with you is never boring, kiddo. I love you.
Oh.
My baby.
Thanks, Mom.
That was very nice, June. Well, now that somebody else has gone first, Connie, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Ditto what my mom said, only about her, not me.
Oh.
That's my girl.
Thanks for that heartfelt sentiment, Connie.
I meant it.
Tom, you're next.
Well, I guess one thing I'm thankful for is just this time of the year.
You're here.
I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I just love it.
Oh, I know how you feel. There's so much going on. It's the beginning of the holiday season.
And you get out of school.
You light wood fires as the weather turns colder.
And you get out of school.
You gather with friends and relatives.
And you get out of school.
Harvest comes in.
And you get out of school.
Rodney, are you trying to tell us something?
I'm getting a message.
No, it's just I like Thanksgiving because you get out of school, that's all.
Well, there's a lot more to the holiday than that, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know all about it. It's all we've been talking about in school for the past couple of weeks. I even had to write a report on it.
Really? Well, what'd you write about?
Oh, you know, how Thanksgiving started in 1621 when the Pilgrims invited the Indians to a big dinner of turkey and pumpkin pie, and how it was made an official holiday by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. You know, the usual junk.
Well, you make it sound real interesting, all right.
Tom.
All right.
Like I said, I know all about Thanksgiving.
I agree that you may know a lot of facts and history, but as near as I can tell, you've left out the most important part.
What's that?
What's the holiday called again?
Thanksgiving.
And what do you think the word means?
Well, giving thanks for all the things we have, I guess.
And who are you giving thanks to?
Oh, I get it. God, right?
Right. And since the basket has come to you, it's your turn to share something you're thankful to him for.
Do I have to?
Well, it'd sure be nice.
I know. It's just that I don't have very much to thank God for.
Well, come on, Rodney. I found something.
Yeah, well, I don't have a mom, and my dad is too busy with his job to make it home for a holiday. So I guess I don't have anything, all right?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
I think he wanted to be here, honey.
It's no big deal. It's just the way things are. I don't blame God for it, but I don't feel like thanking him either.
You might want to reconsider about that, Rodney.
What do you mean, Mr. Whitaker?
Well, it's not enough for us to thank God for good things and just accept it when bad things happen. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
How am I supposed to do that?
Well, I guess the best way for me to answer that is by telling you what I'm most thankful for. I thank God for Fiona Donnerill.
Who?
Fiona Donnerill. She was my stepmother and one of the greatest ladies I have ever known. She came into my life after my real mother died. I was about 5 years old and, well, I'm afraid I didn't treat her very well.
Is this when you were living in Scotland?
Yes, but when I was about Rodney's age, we moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, where my father, Harold Whitaker, taught at Duke University. Oh, I'd warmed up to her a little bit since I was five, though, mostly because she was so much fun to have around. We did lots of things together, and one of our favorites was horseback riding.
Because my lungs are about to burst and my face is turning blue. Oh, whatever could make you think I was tired.
Come on, I'll race you to that tree.
Wait just a minute now. Let her last catch your breath.
All right. Fiona?
Yes?
Do you remember back in Scotland when you first came to live with us and my father bought you that really pretty dress?
Oh, yes. Yes. It was my wedding dress. I had to throw it away because McTuff the dog spilled a whole bowl of chocolate cake batter all over it.
Yeah, well, McTuff didn't spill it. I did.
You did? Well, why would you do that?
I don't know.
Well, why you're telling me about it now?
I guess because I wanted you to know that I'm really sorry about it. I shouldn't have done it. And I wouldn't have if I'd have known how nice you are.
Oh. Well, I appreciate your honesty, John Avery, even if it is a bit late. But would it disappoint you too much if I told you that I always knew you did it?
You did?
Mm-hmm. McDuff was a smart dog, but not even he could make handprints.
Well, why didn't you ever say anything?
Oh, I guess I figured you'd been through about enough with your mother dying and me coming in.
Yeah.
Things have been pretty rough, I know. But the thing to remember is that God has a purpose in all this. You might not be able to see it now. In fact, you may never be able to see it in this life. But he does have a purpose.
If you say so.
Not because I say so. Because it's true.
It's just kind of hard to believe when he takes your mother away. I mean, you don't know how it feels because you haven't had anything taken from you.
You're right. I haven't. But you know, just because bad things happen doesn't mean that God isn't there or that he doesn't care. You just have to have faith. Now, if you put your faith in him, he'll never fail you. I want you to remember that, okay?
If you say so.
In fact, I want you to think about it. Well, I'm racing you to the tree. Come on,
hey, no more.
Come on, Joan Avery, faster. Can't you catch me? You're not just tired, are you?
Look out, the tree.
What?
Fiona!
Easy now, I'm here.
Oh, where's Joan Avery?
I'm here, too.
Oh, well, what happened?
Well, apparently you had a little run-in with the branch of an elm.
Oh, a dumb place to put a tree in the middle of a forest.
How do you feel?
Oh, aside from a little headache, I feel fine. In fact, I'd better get up and start supper.
No. There's plenty of time before supper. You just rest easy.
Oh, nonsense. I told you I'm all right. It's late, and you must all be starved.
It's not that late.
Of course it is. Why, it's so dark in here now you can barely see your hand in front of your face. I must have been out for hours.
Fiona, how many fingers am I holding up?
Harold, have you gone daft? I just said it was so dark in here you couldn't see your hand. John Avery, why don't you turn on some lights?
But, Papa?
John, run and get Doc Willis.
Yes, sir.
The doctor? I told you, I just have a little headache, that's all.
Fiona, I think you better just lay back.
I didn't want to lay back. I want to fix some supper. And why don't you turn on some lights in here?
There are no need for lights, Fiona. It's still the middle of the afternoon.
The middle of the afternoon? Then why can't I... Dear Lord. Dear Lord in heaven, I'm blind.
What will happen to Fiona? We'll find out when our adventure in Odyssey returns right after this. And now the conclusion of today's adventure in Odyssey.
She was blind?
That's right.
How sad.
Wasn't there anything the doctors could do?
Oh, they tried. In fact, my memories of the next several months are a whirlwind of traveling from one doctor to another. But, well, they all said the same thing. It was hopeless.
Wow. Your stepmother must have been really upset.
Well, she went through the usual feelings at first. You know, denial, anger, self-pity, and certainly a great deal of frustration when the doctors would tell her there was no hope. But remember, there was a certain point during all this running around that she became very peaceful about what had happened to her. In fact, the only person who had the most difficult time adjusting to her blindness was me.
Why you?
Oh, for a variety of reasons. But then one night, Fiona made me realize those weren't the real reasons I had problems adjusting. I remember we were sitting in front of the fire, just like we did every night.
Redeeming the time.
My father was reading the Bible to her.
Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right, John, it's your turn.
Oh, all right. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep going, Joan Avery.
Do I have to keep reading this?
We're supposed to go to the end of the chapter tonight.
I know. I just don't want to read this anymore.
Why not?
Because I can't. I can't.
John! John Avery Whittaker!
Harold.
Oh, he does this every night.
I know. And every night you go charging after him. Did he go to his room?
Yes.
Tonight, let me go. I think I know what's wrong with him.
Joan Avery, can I come in?
Yes.
My, my, but this room is a mess.
No, it isn't. I just cleaned it up this morning. That wasn't very funny.
Then why are you smiling?
How do you know I'm smiling?
Because a smile isn't just something you see. It's something you hear as well. And I haven't been hearing too many out of you lately.
That's because there hasn't been too much to smile about.
Is that a fact? And just what reason do you have to be unhappy?
Because of what happened to you.
Oh, it's not a dirty word, John. You mean my blindness?
Yes.
Well, now, that's my problem, isn't it? Why should you feel bad?
Because it was my idea that we go riding.
Oh, but I agreed. It's not like you were making me do something I didn't want to do.
But now you can't do it at all. Or lots of other things either.
Well, I don't know about that. But even if it is true, it's still my concern. Not yours, John Avery. Why are you unhappy?
Because you aren't.
What?
You remember before the accident, how I told you that you don't know how I felt about my mother because you never lost anything?
Yeah.
Well, now you have lost something, and you're still not unhappy.
No, I guess I'm not. That makes you angry, doesn't it?
Yes. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, shh. There, there now.
How can you be so happy all the time?
Well, in the first place, I'm not always happy. I still get upset every once in a while. But when that happens, you know what I do?
What?
I remember an old Scottish prayer that my mother taught me when I was a wee girl. It goes, Lord, I thank thee 1,000 times for the roses. Help me to thank thee for the thorns as well.
Why would you want to be thankful for the thorn?
Oh, because the thorns remind us of just how beautiful the roses really are. Don't you see? Everything, even the bad, has a purpose.
So, that's what makes you happy?
Oh, it's part of it, yes.
What's the rest of it?
Lad, you know the rest. Whether you realize it or not, it's right in front of you. You look at it every single night.
You mean the Bible? That's what makes you happy?
That's right.
But I read it. Why doesn't it work for me?
Because it's not enough to just read the words. You have to try to understand what the words are saying. And who's saying them?
Well, how do I do that?
By asking Jesus to come into your heart. That's the source of true happiness.
Will you help me do that?
Oh, John Avery, of course I will. Just bow your head and say, Dear Father.
Dear Father.
That's why I'm thankful for Fiona Donnerall. She helped me get over my mother's death. She got me into the habit of reading the Bible every day and led me to Christ. And all those roses came out of the thorn of her blindness.
Yeah, but all the good things happened to you, not to her.
You remember a little while ago you asked me what if God doesn't have anything good in store for you? Well, when you're a Christian, God always has something good in store for you.
What is it?
Eternal life with Him. That's why we should be thankful even when bad things happen, because they're all just pointing us toward God. You understand that, Rodney?
I think so. I think I know what I'm thankful for now, too. I'm thankful that my dad didn't pick me up, because if he did, I wouldn't have learned what to be thankful for.
Well, your heart's in the right place, even if your sentence structure isn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, soup's on.
Oh, John. Oh,
that was good.
Attention, everyone. Attention, everyone. Rodney, why don't you say grace?
Thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. I guess I shouldn't get too upset when bad things happen to me. In fact, I can really be thankful, because like Whit said in this adventure, those things are just pointing me toward God. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.